Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, Eagles fans, whenever you're listening, however you're listening, welcome into Locked On Eagles, this Wednesday edition of the show. I am your host, Louis DiBiase, a couple more days away. This Sunday, the Eagles are in New Orleans with the rematch against the Saints in the divisional round of the playoffs. I'm joined today to get into that matchup a little bit with my good buddy Lars Lewis over the phone. Lars, how you doing, my man?
Well, we got one more week, buddy. We got one more week.
We get to look.
I'm excited.
I just can't stop talking about how unbelievable this run has been. When you look at where they were just a month ago at 6-7, I just want to go back in time and be like, Lou, they're going to be in the second round of the playoffs, because this is something we expected in the summer, but this is not something we expected just a month ago.
Hell, try 4-6.
Right. I mean, yeah, when we talk about the Saints, that game right there, like Nick Foles said in his press conference today, this season could have went one of two ways after that loss. It could have spiraled out of control with all the injuries, with the way they got blown out. It could have demoralized the team. And instead, they only lose one more game after that. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's something that a year such as this, the past, let's say, 365 days, is something that is unimaginable for any fan base in any sport, with the amount of drama, of which there should not be any drama over who should be the quarterback in the future, over who should be playing right now, over the team itself, over the general manager, over Doug Peterson, over everything that has transpired throughout the past calendar year. And somehow Philadelphia's got a chance to get back to the NFC Championship for the second straight year.
We're going to be talking about
something that is truly unimaginable.
We're going to be talking about this Eagles team, this two-year run, for a long time, because it's just something magical that you know in sports when you're witnessing something historic that we're going to be talking about for decades, right? When you see LeBron James erasing a 3-1 lead over the Golden State Warriors, or you see what Tom Brady's doing, you're going to know you watched the greatest quarterback of all time go on this run of winning 5 Super Bowls. With the Eagles too, what they're doing as Eagles fans, and just sports in general, what they're doing with Nick Foles under center, with the adversity they've overcome for 2 years, you just know when you're witnessing something historic in sports, and I feel like that's what we're doing again right now. And Lars, we have an opportunity to keep that magic going this Sunday in New Orleans, and this one's going to be personal, man. You saw it when Doug Peterson, the postgame speech after they beat the Chicago Bears, you saw it in Brandon Graham's face when Peterson said, you know where we're going next, that big smile, ready for redemption, the power, the tenacity, the seeking revenge in Malcolm Jenkins' voice when he brought the huddle together in that locker room after the Bears win. Just from Alvin Kamara saying the Saints would destroy the Eagles in the NFC title game. They ran up the score in that first game when the Eagles fell to 4-6. They mocked the ski masks, Kamara and Ingram. It's mostly been the running backs that have been talking trash about the Eagles. It's going to be something. The Eagles are extremely motivated in this one, and this Eagles team is scary when they're motivated to shock the world. We've seen it the past 2 years.
I mean, hell, they were given, let's say, last year when Carson Wentz went down, they said it was over.
Yep, everyone
well,
did.
Well, Nick Foles took over, and when they got to the Super Bowl, they said they're not going to beat New England. They're not going to beat Tom Brady. Well, they did. Philadelphia goes 4-6 this year. They get pummeled by the Saints. Carson Wentz doesn't look healthy. The team looks like it's in disarray. Jim Schwartz is likely on the hot seat. And everybody is right now screaming like their hair's on fire, saying, this season's over. It's chaos right now. Trade Wentz. Do something. But then all of a sudden, they steady the ship. They win 5 out of 6. And they somehow can find a way to get into the playoffs, win the game against Chicago, and by some grace of God, a man's hand was able to tip a ball
Javon
just
Hester,
enough
baby.
To hit it off of 2 posts and have it come out for Philadelphia to win. It's, my God, I truly can't imagine anything of what we have experienced as Eagles fans for the past 2 seasons. And I tell you what, Louie, I don't like all this as much as I do love it. Because honestly, we probably lost 3 years of each of our lives watching these games.
I was going to say, I said it after the Bears game, from the final goal line stand against the Falcons in the divisional round last year, from the way the Super Bowl ended, from that win against the Falcons week one of the regular season, against the Colts week three, to the finish against the Bears, the chaotic week 17 where we needed to win and we needed the Bears to beat the Vikings. This team has... If you have stress or anxiety issues, this is a tough team to follow. But they've made it so memorable because of all these moments that they just continuously just overcome, and they strive. They live, they feed off of it. And it's crazy because in 2016, these moments just seemed too big for the team. And of course, Doug Peterson was a rookie head coach. They had a rookie quarterback, and they came so close in so many games that 7-9 team had a positive point differential, actually, or they were close to it. And you just, from that year to the past 2 years, how just, especially with Nick Foles, just emotionless, just ready for these moments they are. It's unbelievable to witness. But against the Saints, man, this one again is going to be personal. Doug Peterson said that the Saints didn't run up the score in that game. But Lars, I'm telling you, man, I saw that. Doug Peterson's good buddies with Sean Payton. They 100% ran up that score. Malcolm Jenkins flipped off Sean Payton for a reason. The players of Philadelphia, they feel slighted in that one. They feel embarrassed, and they know the Saints were trying to embarrass the Super Bowl champs, and they were trying to make a statement, and hopefully this time the Eagles are the ones that can make the statement.
I would say let's compare this situation to another side, like go to the AFC. Remember the Chargers when they played their game against the Ravens in the regular season in Carson and they lost 22-10?
Right.
Phillip Rivers threw two picks. He was sacked four times. His passer rating was, what, like 51?
Yeah, the Ravens
terrible.
Dominated
They got owned. And then in the playoffs, they wanted revenge, and guess what happened? They pounded Baltimore for 3.5 quarters until Lamar Jackson was able to find himself and get a couple touchdowns late to get it close. But all in all, the Chargers won. This is possible. If you got a team as talented as Philadelphia is, and also as talented as the Chargers are, one game does not indicate a similar result for the next. This is the NFL. Weird
right.
things happen. No football game is ever the same being played twice.
And look, this Eagles team, yeah.
Which is why I think, yes, I still think they're the underdog. I still think that the odds of winning, obviously, I think are less than they were against the Bears. But there's still an opportunity because in this league, basically anything can happen and anybody can beat anybody. I know it's very cliche, but especially with the Eagles this year and with Nick Foles, those words are very true.
And you saw it, too, not just with the Chargers against the Ravens, but you've seen in NFL history, just go back to the 2007 Super Bowl, where the Patriots were undefeated. They beat the Giants week 17, and then the Giants come in the Super Bowl, and they upset the 18-0 New England Patriots. This is not the same Eagles team from that week 11 battle. Chandon Sullivan's not going to be starting on the outside at cornerback, or Devontae Bosby, Cravion LeBlanc, the player he was then compared to what he is now for the Eagles in the slot. It is absolutely
Rasul
night
Douglas.
And day. Rasul Douglas, you look at that game, it was one of the reasons that he got under fire. I mean, Eagles Twitter loves to go after the secondary guys. Whoever gets burned that week is going to be public enemy number one. But Rasul Douglas was getting burned by Michael Thomas. He wasn't nearly the tackler in those first couple games against Dallas and against New Orleans that he is now. He has led the Eagles in tackles in 4 weeks straight now, Lars. This is a team that, with their offense, is Carson Wentz, that was the point when you started looking at Wentz and you're like, he is not the same player. There is something wrong with Carson Wentz. We don't know if it was the health. We didn't know it was his back at the time, but you could tell that just there was something wrong with him. And in general, that team was not the team we've been used to. And it's crazy how different they are because that game really fueled this run, though. And that's what's awesome about it is, again, like you said, they've won 5 of 6, 6 of 7 now with that playoff win. They have that blowout. We should be thanking the Saints. It sparked an incredible run. It's kind of funny because the Bears, won a game to get the Eagles in the playoffs and kind of set this thing in motion, getting the Eagles into the second round. And you kind of have the Bears to thank for that. And now the Eagles get to play the other team that helped spark this run, and the Saints on the road. That, again, if the Saints don't blow out the Eagles in that game, who knows what happens with how the season goes. Because, again, you can tell 100% that lit a fire under this Eagles team.
And I think it also showed that Carson Wentz was not healthy.
Yeah.
That was a major indicator, and thus it turned to Nick Foles when people were clamoring that Carson Wentz didn't look right, and apparently it was the case.
I mean, and Wentz still played a couple weeks, but nonetheless, getting Foles in there helped get this offense back on track, having a healthy quarterback in there.
Yeah, that's true. And mentioning before of you saying Eagles fans going after the secondary, I think it was a combination of philosophy by Jim Schwartz, whom has made the adjustments as the season has gone on, and the defense looks remarkably better the last 3 to 4 games after that shellacking they took against New Orleans. Pro Football Focus actually has the Philadelphia Eagles as the top front seven in the NFL this year.
Yep.
And I think it was just the adjustments that Schwartz made to help out a young secondary who was battered most of the season with injuries, that are now able to find their game. Lazul Douglas is finding his game. Crevion LeBlanc has looked solid. And now you're starting to see what can happen when you make those adjustments and when those guys get more acclimated to game action compared to being on the sidelines. You're seeing a Philadelphia Eagles defense that is right up there with the lead of the NFL. And it's going to be a far different game for the likes of New Orleans when they play this defense that's been revamped ever since that loss in the Superdome. And it's going to be a lot closer. And also, on top of that, New Orleans hasn't seen Nick Foles. They saw Carson Wentz that
right.
game. They run the offense a little bit differently under Foles compared to Wentz.
I'm with you. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, me and Lars are going to get into if this Saints team is the best team the Eagles have played in the playoffs over the past 2 years. They played some pretty good ones. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, sponsored by MyBookie. Ladies and gentlemen, the NFL playoffs are here, and it is time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games. Not this year, when the 53rd Super Bowl is around the corner. It really is the most wonderful time of the year, especially if you're an Eagles fan right now. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie.com. Today, they pay fast, and when you win, ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate the offer. That's, again, promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Lars Lewis on this Wednesday edition of the show. Lars, the Eagles have played some really good playoff teams. That's why this two-year run is almost even more impressive, is because they didn't... Look, the Patriots, a lot of the time, I said this on my show a couple days ago, the Patriots are probably the best dynasty in NFL history. But a lot of the time in the AFC, first off, they've had the easiest division to dominate in the past 2 decades with how the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins have built their rosters over the years. But then you look in the AFC, too, there hasn't been a lot of juggernauts like there have in the AFC, or in the NFC, excuse me. The Eagles have had to go through teams like the Falcons last year, who were a collapse away from winning the Super Bowl the previous season. Then they had to go, well, I mean, they were at home, but they had to play the Minnesota Vikings, who are the number one ranked defense, a team that I was very high on. I thought that was the Eagles' toughest test. And then in the Super, and they end up blowing out that team, the Eagles in the Super Bowl have to play that Patriots dynasty I'm talking about. Then they play the Bears, who are a number one ranked defense just a year later. And now they play the New Orleans Saints, the 2018 version, Lars, though. I don't know. I talked about all those good teams. This might be the toughest opponent the Eagles have had to face on the road. That's the thing, too, is they have to go on the road, unlike last year where they were at home to play that Vikings team. This Saints team at the Superdome, it's unlike anything we've seen.
Yeah, I honestly feel like this Saints team is the best team they're going to play this year. However, I don't think it's the toughest team they've ever played against.
Okay.
With this particular roster in mind. And I really think that I'd look at the Super Bowl last year. The New England Patriots, when you actually look at some of the numbers, overall, they were second in the league in points for, and they were fifth in points against.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a very hard, thing to do, to be top five in both offense and defense. And when you had New England with Gronkowski, with Edelman, with Tom Brady, and you look at Bill Belichick, who's probably all around the greatest coach in the history of the NFL at the controls, it just truly shows how remarkable that win was when you had a backup quarterback in Nick Foles, whom when he came in to start after the injury to Carson Wentz, you didn't know what Nick Foles you were going to get. You were going to get either the 2013 Nick Foles, or you were going to get the Rams or Chiefs Nick Foles. Soon enough, we found out the answer. And I feel like, as good as this Saints team is, they have a weakness, and that is in their secondary.
Which is good, because the Eagles' weapons are balling
up well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Patriots team. I don't disagree with you. These two teams. The Patriots was the other tough team. Obviously the Falcons and the Vikings and the Bears, those are all really challenging teams that were juggernauts. Like, they were not pushover playoff teams. But that New England Patriots team, like you said, I mean, they were loaded with talent. Tom Brady had over 500 passing yards against the Eagles. They had Rob Gronkowski still. Brandon Cooks, although he got knocked out of the game by Malcolm Jenkins. They had weapons. But according to our poll here on my Twitter account, @DiBiaseLOE, 96% voted for this 2018 Saints team over the 2017 Patriots. And I didn't realize it was going to be... Maybe it's because the Eagles beat the Patriots, but I do see the logic in it, because they have a Hall of Fame quarterback like the Patriots did in Drew Brees. They have Michael Thomas, who was a better receiver than Brandon Cooks, who was the Patriots' number one last year. Then, in the backfield, you have Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. The Patriots, yeah, they had James White. They had, who else were they running with last year? Rex Burkhead was, I can't even think of who else was.
Deion Lewis.
That's right. Deion Lewis was the other guy. Sony Michel's popping in my head because he was the starter this year.
James White.
They had Brandon Cooks and obviously Tom Brady and Gronk. But the trio of Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Mark Ingram at Drew Brees' disposal, with a defense that I think has more talent. Look, the secondary, I think, is a issue for the Saints, but it was the same issue that the Patriots had last year, as Alshon Jeffrey's catching an amazing touchdown over Eric Rowe's head. It's the same kind of flaw with this team, but up front, the Saints front seven, I give them the edge over that Patriots team last year. And in the Superdome, that's the thing, the Eagles didn't have to go to New England. It was a neutral site in Minnesota. Whereas now the Eagles have to go to the Superdome, which adds another element to me, is going to make it a tougher matchup.
Yeah, and historically the Saints have been so good at home under Drew Brees. And you look at the playoffs, it is going to be an uphill battle going down to New Orleans and winning a game on the road against that team, a team that good. But I have to ask you this question, Lou.
Okay.
With the exception of what we've had the last couple of years, in your life, who was the greatest team that the Eagles ever faced in the playoffs in your life?
Ooh. So I'm a younger Eagles fan, so it'll be harder for me going back to... So that 2004 Patriots team was probably one of the best. I mean, because they were...
Thinking the same thing.
Because they were in the midst of the dynasty. They still had that elite defense, right? They still had... It was a couple years later where that defense finally started getting... older, and players like Willie McGinnis moved on, Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, Asante Samuel eventually came over to Philadelphia.
That's Wilfork.
Right. But they were right there. That was their third Super Bowl in 4 years. They were at the peak of their powers. Tom Brady wasn't the Tom Brady, and even in the Rams Super Bowl, where really he was more of a game manager. He had that fourth quarter comeback, but it was more so the defense that was winning them that game, and he had a really good Super Bowl against the Panthers, but that the Eagles one is really when Brady started to become the Tom Brady that we've seen ever since. So that's
Lest
the first
we forget.
Team. Yeah.
That team also had Corey Dillon, who has 1,600 yards.
Yeah, they
12 touchdowns that year.
Yeah, they haven't had a running back like Corey Dillon since, and that's why they tried to get one in the first round this year with Sony Michel. They're someone I think of. This Saints team is up there for sure. I think the 2010 Packers team is underrated when it comes to NFL history because they kind of limped into the postseason, but that Packers team was dominant. And the next year, they ended up going 15-1, although they lost in the divisional round. That two-year span of Green Bay was pretty historic. Last year's Patriots team, one that's underrated, Lars, how about the 2008 NFC Championship against the Arizona Cardinals with Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald at the height of his powers, that defense with Andre Roll,
Anquan Boldin,
Darnell Dockett. I think Dominic Rogers-Cromartie was on the team. That Cardinals team's up there, too.
Yeah, and you saw how much they pushed Pittsburgh in that Super Bowl, and they had it. They had the lead with 2 minutes left, and then Roethlisberger drove them down the field, and Santonio Holmes. Look, we talk about a David Tyree catch. We talk about Mario Manningham, and we talk about a lot of great catches in Super Bowl history. I still think, to this very day, Santonio Holmes' catch to win the Super Bowl for the Steelers is the best catch I've ever seen.
Yeah,
a little amount of error that was there for him to catch that ball. It was triple coverage.
No, I'm with you. It's up there. I think Alshon Jeffries last year doesn't get enough love. I think it's because of the situation. It was in the first quarter. But that acrobatic, the deep bomb into the end zone, the way Alshon Jeffries had to go to his back shoulder in midair, like he was at the top of his catch point, right? His hands fully extended. That catch was outside of the Odell Beckham catch against the Cowboys, right, or the Santonio Holmes catch. The David Tyree one was miraculous just because of how he caught it on his helmet, but the Alshon catch, just talking about physical ability, that was one of the coolest catches I've seen, and it was on a huge moment, obviously, in the Super Bowl. That really set the tone for it really got the Eagles' offense going, and they did not look back.
And now you saw Alshon Jeffries look good against Chicago, and I'm going to be really intrigued on how the Saints game plan around Alshon, because when you go inside the 30-yard line, Foles is definitely going to be looking for him. And I want to tell you, the biggest key for the game this Sunday is how they utilize their running backs against New Orleans. Saints have a stiff run defense. Same with Chicago. Expect Philadelphia, if they do it the right way, a lot of outside runs. Because if you attack their secondary and you attack their corners and get your guards to the outside and get them to pull, almost like Packer sweeps in a way, I think they're going to have a lot more success.
I think that's what they actually tried to do against Chicago, too. And while they didn't have the run success that you, I mean, of course, you're going to expect that. Mike, our other co-host,
the Bears,
Gino
were also much faster than Saints are.
Gino on the preview show on Saturday even said, like, neither one of these teams is going to have a lot of success in the run game. I think it's going to be a similar situation here in New Orleans. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, because, Lars, that's what I wanted to get into next, was this matchup when it comes to the Eagles' offense, how the Saints attacked the Eagles last time compared to, are they going to be able to do it again this time the same way? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and my buddy Lars Lewis joining me on this Wednesday edition of the show. So, Lars, you kind of started it up before we took our break about how this Eagles team was going to attack the Saints. And I like the point you made about the running backs getting to the outside, getting your offensive linemen moving, attacking the secondary. It's kind of what the Bears did to the Eagles last week, is they went after Rasul Douglas. And Rasul Douglas came through for the Eagles. He led the team in tackles, and they were big-time tackles, right? They weren't 30 yards down the field, him getting burned. They were quality tackles at the line of scrimmage, him closing in. I think that should be the Eagles' goal against the Saints' defense. But to me, man, I still think you're going to have to win this game through the air. And the Saints, that's what they wanted last time, right? They said they wanted Carson Wentz to beat them. I don't know if it's because I think it was more so it wasn't an indictment of Wentz and his abilities. I think it was more so if we take out the run game, we're going to be able to outscore this Eagles offense with the way they were playing, because the Eagles, their passing game had struggled for the majority of the season. Probably a lot of the reason of that is because Carson Wentz was injured. They're not going to be able to do that again this time. The Eagles' offensive line is playing so much better than they were last time, right? They have a healthy quarterback that is on a roll. Nick Foles is back on one of his historic runs. And the other point here is the Eagles' defense isn't going to let the Saints be up 17-0 10 seconds into the game like they were last game. The Saints drove down with ease against the Eagles, partially because Sidney Jones wasn't healthy and they were targeting him with that injured hamstring, and Rasul Douglas was still getting his feet wet, and he was being put in the wrong situation against Michael Thomas where he's playing close to the line, but he's not jamming him. So Michael Thomas is opening up his hips, and they move the ball with ease. And it was the run game, too. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram dominated the Eagles. They combined for over 170 yards. That was that span, remember, Lars, where elite running backs were just gashing the Eagles. Like, they to start the season, they were number two in run defense up until that game. Well, it was the week before against Dallas where Ezekiel Elliott really got after them. And then that Saints game, that trend continued. For a couple weeks there, then the next week with Saquon Barkley, the Eagles' defensive line was getting destroyed. The secondary, the defense, like you said, Jim Schwartz looked like he was on the hot seat because they were not playing as well. And that's why, also, the Eagles had to throw it 40 times in a row. The Saints are not going to be able to have the same game plan. They're going to have to prioritize stopping Nick Foles in this pass game, because you saw with the Eagles the past few weeks, they haven't really run the football all that effectively. You've had the flash plays from Darren Sproles and Wendell Smallwood here and there, but the Eagles won that game on offense with their arm, with Nick Foles' arm, with their weapons of Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, and Golden Tate. They've been more balanced since Nick Foles has been in there, but it's mostly been the passing game, and a lot of it is because of the defense getting turnovers, getting the Eagles good field position, because the offensive line's playing better, because Nick Foles is healthy and playing at the top of his powers right now. It's going to be a completely different story, man.
And I think there's one thing you didn't mention during that spiel. On offense, the true importance of having not only one, but two tight ends, and Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, was the difference in Philadelphia winning that game.
And they didn't
because
use that against the Saints last time.
Yeah. If you looked at the coaches' film throughout this game, which I'm very sure you did, look at the job that Ertz and Goddard did blocking in that game.
It was masterful, Dallas Goedert blocking in that game. He has been one of the biggest unsung heroes of this season.
I'm going to tell you what. There's no Khalil Mack on the other side of that line with New Orleans.
Right.
Which is going to open up a bit more options passing-wise for Goddard and Ertz, who at times had to stay on the line and block because it's obvious. It's Chicago. When you've got Akeem Hicks and you've got Khalil Mack and you've got a rotation of six guys on the front seven in Chicago that's as fierce as they are, you kind of have to stay back and have a tight end be able to block. I don't think they'll have that worry as much against New Orleans. So then that opens it up for Nick Foles to look at the middle, to look at Ertz, to look at Goddard. And then that also can free up opportunities for Alshon Jeffrey as well for those one-on-one balls that Foles loves to throw. I think that's going to be an underrated aspect of this game. Are they going to be able to have Ertz and Goddard to be able to get into the open field and to have Nick Foles find both of them, and to move the offense forward throwing-wise? Because I feel like that's what Philadelphia is going to have to do against the Saints, because let's be honest, when you look at the teams overall on defense, running-wise, it's going to be a struggle for both teams. I feel like it's going to be more for Philadelphia than New Orleans because I feel like the Saints have some more accomplished running backs. But for the most part, it's going to be in the air, like you said. It's going to be how they utilize their running backs that's going to be a huge indication of who's going to win the game.
And it doesn't even have to be through the running game. It can be with these wheel routes that they're using with Darren Sproles, and they're getting him out to the edge and getting him in space, and that's how he is really playing so well that we were okay with the 35-year-old coming back for another season next year. The Saints, look, they can take out the run game all they want again. They're not going to have the same amount of success that they had last year or last game against the Eagles. They're just not going to. Nick Foles in this offense has played just far better, light years better. Alshon Jeffrey in general, that was the span where Alshon Jeffrey was really struggling to get the football. A lot of it had to do with Carson Wentz's health and the way that they were calling plays, more geared towards Zach Ertz across the middle. Alshon Jeffrey, completely different right now. He is playing... He just always saves his best performance. I said this about Nigel Bradham on the last show. Alshon Jeffrey is like that on the offensive side, where when the Eagles are getting ready for the postseason, in games that matter, in moments that are key, that they have to come up with big plays, that's out where Alshon Jeffrey shines. And I think he's going to continue that this week against the Saints. And man, when you talked about Dallas Goedert, he made some, even though he was used a lot as a blocker against Chicago, he still... That catch where he was falling to the ground, he stays up with his hand and gets the first down. I'm sorry, but Dallas Goedert literally looks like... he might just be Travis Kelce. The Eagles might have two of the best tight ends in football. And I hate to mention his name, but Gronk and Aaron Hernandez with the New England Patriots, that dynamic of two elite tight ends in the league, the Eagles are going to have that, man. Dallas Goedert next year... I think he's going to have where he is right now is further along than where Zach Ertz was his rookie year. Because Goddard, to me, his receiving ability is already better than what Ertz was as a rookie. Not as a route runner or with Ertz's hands, but with run after the catch ability, Dallas Goedert as a blocker, he is more advanced right now than Zach Ertz was in 2013. And that's not a knock on Ertz. That's a testament of how good Dallas Goedert's been. It's another one of those finds from Howie Roseman trading up to get that guy in the second round. Another weapon for the offense.
I love 12 personnel, man.
That's right, and the Eagles have been most successful this year when they're in 12 personnel. And Goddard, again, he didn't make a lot of big plays through the passing game against Chicago, but as a blocker, if you look at the film room, there is just look at Eagles media. Everyone is gushing about his performances.
He was one-on-one with Khalil Mack.
And let's give him credit, too, for his blocking on Leonard Floyd on the other side. Floyd is an athletic outside linebacker that can get to the quarterback. I loved his abilities at Georgia.
That dude's scary.
Yeah, he was a first-round pick for a reason, and Dallas Goedert's one-on-one, and it wasn't even where Lane Johnson's close to him. Goddard's got him far on the right side of the field, and he's just manhandling him. It's absurd for a rookie tight end, especially with tight ends nowadays. They're kind of more like receivers. That's why the Eagles really kept Brent Celek around so much, is because he was one of the few tight ends that was just almost like an extra offensive lineman. You can do that with Dallas Goedert now, but you also have to take into account this guy has the athletic ability of Travis Kelce. I can't believe that they got this guy in the second round.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked myself. Where'd he go? South Dakota State?
Yeah, South Dakota State. Another one of those Dakota boys, man. We got to keep finding
the
talent there. Carson Wentz's rival.
Wild. So wild.
All right, Lars, let me get a prediction for you before we wrap up the show. I know this is a tough one, and look, if you pick the Saints, I'm okay with it. The Eagles are underdogs. They should be, but this is not going to be the blowout. Let me just say that before we get our predictions in, or for you. The Eagles are not going to get blown out in this football game. I just refuse to believe it.
I say Saints 27, Eagles 21.
Okay, that's fair. And look, I'll still take the season that they had this year against the Saints. Again, like I said on Sunday on the post-game show, this Saints team is the biggest test for the Eagles repeating as Super Bowl champions. If they win this game, I am feeling really confident about their ability to repeat. I think when you look at who they'd play in the NFC Championship game, either the LA Rams, who they already beat just a couple weeks ago, and against a Dallas Cowboys team, that there's no way in hell the Eagles lose three straight games against Dallas. And then in the Super Bowl, yeah, you might have to play Patrick Mahomes, you might have to play Tom Brady again, but Lars, this Saints team, and the fans agree, this is probably their biggest test in the past 2 years of getting a Super Bowl championship.
All bets are off if they beat the Saints.
Right. This is, yeah,
if
this
they
becomes...
beat New Orleans, nobody should ever call the Eagles a heavy underdog against anybody else the rest of the playoffs.
I was going to say,
this is their biggest test.
Would you say that they'd be favorites in the NFC title if they beat the Saints?
I would. I absolutely would.
See, I think they would be against Dallas.
If the Rams win their game this week against Dallas,
yeah,
I would say, okay, Rams maybe 1.5 or 2. If it's the Cowboys, I'm favoring the Eagles.
That's what I'm saying. I think even on the road in Dallas, the Eagles should be favorites. I don't think they would be against the Rams in L.A., But I think against Dallas, they would be. Yeah, again, this is the big test. It goes from, if they beat the Saints here, it goes from, wow, what a run. I can't believe they even got in the playoffs. They got a win against a great team in Chicago in the wild card round. But if you beat the Saints here, we're back talking, oh my gosh, this Eagles team might repeat. I mean, I can't believe we'd get to that point. But we're only one win away from that really being... That's our mindset is, let's go win the Super Bowl again. Because right now, this Saints team, it's very hard to look past this week because of how big of a test this is going to be on the road. But if we get through it, then I'm talking Super Bowl, dude.
I'm feeling pretty froggy.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very confident this
week.
I'm feeling good too, man. They're playing literally with nothing to lose.
And
I think that's a good mentality to have because everybody's writing off the Eagles. If you look at the betting lines in Vegas, they have a 2.8% chance, I believe, of winning it all.
Look, it's
they have nothing to lose. They have the lowest odds, the highest odds, actually, of winning the Super Bowl out of all the other teams left.
It's when they play the best, my friend. And I think that's a good way to wrap up today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Thanks, as always, to my good buddy Lars Lewis for being on the show. Lars, we'll talk to you soon.
Indeed.
All right, that's going to do it for the Locked On Eagles podcast on this Wednesday edition of the show. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE. Follow Lars at LarsLewis12 and my co-host Gino Camilleri at Gino_LOE. Check out our written content and podcast at LockedOnEagles.com. For Lars Lewis, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.